to burn out. You started a band that was cool for a while, but it turned pretty bland. I started a fight with a neighbor next door and his pesky wife. You started a job that you hate when you're sober.
This is Mike.
And this is the Mike Ears.
Episode 44.
Season 4, episode 4.
Straight off of a Colt 44.
Colt. Smooth.
Colt 44. It's
delicious liquor.
Billy D.
I'm calling this episode in 18 seconds.
Calling this episode in 18 seconds. We're done. All right. That's it. Catch us over. So here. Anyways. So welcome back. Last episode we had some Star Trek news going on. This time we're gonna
a lot of updates since then.
A lot of in the couple days it's been since we recorded that. Anyway, paradigm shift right now. We're gonna go back to our comic stuff a little bit. Start off with a little news. Big news for me, anyways. Thank you, via Bruce. He told me about this. That
I read the internet.
He does. He reads the intraweb, and
it's a series of tubes. To my belly.
It's an abacus. Jeff Johns is leaving Green Lantern that he's been working on since 04. This is probably like when you think of runs of, you know, guys who've been on long runs of comics. Other than Ed Brubaker leaving Captain America, I don't think there's been somebody like
Stan and Jack, Fantastic Four.
Well, I'm talking recently.
Yeah, Bendis left Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, that would be kind of a big deal.
Right. But Jeff Johns, I mean, he's been working on Green Lantern since 04.
10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 years.
Has anyone done that recently?
Worked 10 straight years on a book?
Yeah.
Besides Bendis?
What about...
Besides Eric Larson?
What about Peter David?
No.
Has he not been doing X-Factor for almost as long?
I won't say that, no.
Well, you read X-Factor, right?
I do.
Okay.
I don't think it's been that long.
But it's been a long time.
It's been like 5 years.
He's probably next in the running for things right now.
That book is always like on the verge of cancellation.
And somehow it still hangs on there. They do a crossover, and next thing you know, their numbers are up again, right?
So, and then they do it.
And then they do it the same. But yeah, so 04, and he had, 63 issues plus a couple other things in The Blackest Night in the first
one. Is that right? Oh, in the first
one. In the first one, and then...
Something at 63 issues in 4 years doesn't...
No.
For 10 years.
In 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, but then in the new 52, now they're up into 16 right now. And I guess did they say what issue they were?
I don't remember. They did, but I don't.
It's probably 18 or 19.
It's May. This is his last issue.
So May. So if it's 16, no, 17 would be this month. 18 would be March, April. So the 20th.
Who can you imagine taking over? Tomasi?
Dan DiDio.
No, Dan DiDio. I hope it's not Dan DiDio.
I mean, Tomasi's the only other guy that's written Green Lantern stories during that.
Right. Well, Tony Bedard. He's been doing some. And they're good when they write about their secondary character. It's hard to imagine somebody writing about Hal or Sinestro. Like, he's captured such a good voice with those
characters. He reinvented Hal.
Yeah, he did. He made Hal relevant.
To you?
To me. He brought, yeah, it's what brought me back into comics, you know what I mean? Or brought me really into comics.
Even though I'm an older guy than you, I'm on to the
guy
generation guy. After.
Right.
You know?
Well, but there again, I'm coming into when a lot of these older characters are being reintroduced.
Yeah, you are.
And you are into the second wave of people. You were, before Kyle Rayner, you had Guy Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Stewart, I guess, was kind of floating around there to some extent. But... Guy Gardner is your favorite Green Lantern.
Well, yes. He's the Green Lantern that I read.
Hal Jordan, you're a classic guy.
And I'm older.
Yeah, by a year.
That doesn't matter.
It's a significant year.
Apparently, I mean Hal from Super Friends.
Right.
And then when they even redid Crisis, they had a Green Lantern. He had gray hair.
Yeah.
Right, and I also knew about him before then. And then
I think the first time I ever read anything with him, he had the gray hair.
Yeah.
And I thought, whose dad is this?
Well, when they went from when the Green Lantern series had got canceled after when they made it the Green Lantern Corps in the 80s.
Yeah.
They did a couple. He got published in Action Comics Weekly when they did this, when Mark Waid was the editor in chief for that. And I can't remember who. I know, like, originally Gil Kane had done some of the artwork initially in this too, but he didn't have gray hair then. They did two Green Lantern specials. They did Alan Moore did some of his annuals during this time, and then when they came back and they were giving brought Hal back into his own comic again, for some reason they gave him gray hair. This would have been
Was there an event that happened that made his hair gray?
If anything, it was probably. Millennium, maybe. Millennium might have had something to do with it, or what was the one John Byrne did? He wrote one of the
Green Lantern one?
No,
Legends.
Legends. It might have been something out of Legends. Right. I don't know. It's one of those things, though. I would assume that, or he just randomly got Mr. Fantastic stuff, or he got what I like to call Mike Adams kind of stuff going on.
Well, when I first saw it, I remember watching, where's that poster? Army of Darkness.
Yes.
And Bruce Campbell gets scared in the beginning of that.
His hair turns, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember seeing this, and the guy, because, God, it was 93, 94, when I first started, like, realizing, oh, I guess DC has characters, too. Because I was a diehard Marvel guy.
Right.
I remember thinking, okay, so this guy's got gray hair, like Ash, and his weakness is wood.
Wood!
Wow.
Yellow.
I remember him getting shot with a wooden arrow.
That's Alan Scott.
Whichever. I'm telling you, I barely paid attention to this.
This is
I probably was wrong, but at the time I'm like, well, okay, I don't care about this guy. He just never did anything for
right.
me.
I can understand
that. I remember him getting his arm broken when Superman came back from the dead. That was his contribution.
My
arm! I can make my own cast.
Yeah.
I'm super.
He got to that fight that he made his armor or whatever, yeah. too. Yeah, I remember
that was it. The coolest version of Hal Jordan I ever saw was from Kingdom Come.
That was Alan Scott.
Yeah, that was Alan Scott.
Well, the hell with it. Hal Jordan's dead to me.
Apparently. Clearly, you have established this at this point.
I only like Alan Scott.
Who's gay now, by the way. Good job.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I know.
There's no two for the win.
Defenseless against Wood. Or maybe he is weak.
Is it Wood? It's his own Wood. Is his weakness.
Anyways.
Such a what? Sexy man.
I don't know who I'd want to see take over. It'd be interesting to see who they get, but I just don't want, like...
You gotta have somebody go in the exact opposite direction.
Correct.
And you can't have the pale substitution.
Yeah, you can't say, we need Jeff Johns-like-esque, you know, kind of thing. And I guess, furthermore, is Doug Monkey still gonna be drawing it? Because he's really established himself as the Green Lantern guy now.
You gotta, I think you gotta change it. You gotta shake it up.
You know, Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness are coming back to do
strictly. Oh, okay,
I mean,
I'd like to see.
There's Ed one guy McGinnis. That wrote years and years and years of Green Lantern back in the day,
right?
And wasn't working in DC. Wanted to do something new, so they got
Ron Mars. Yes.
They got.
What are you?
I'm trying to tell you.
All right.
They got Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill, or Denny O'Neill Adams, as they were known.
That's when they really grounded Hal.
And they were trying something different, and it worked.
Yeah.
Right. That's but it didn't work sales-wise for him. It did not do it well.
Critical acclaim, though.
Yeah.
They did, but yeah.
But what they did is, like you just said, they went a different direction.
Yeah. Right.
You have
I
to
agree
do
with
that.
What you're saying, is that they would have to go different.
Now, you brought up something interesting. Well, kind of. You made me think of something interesting. When's the last time DC has stolen anybody from Marvel? Because what they could do is big, bold move and yank somebody like Jason Aaron, Matt Fraction.
Jason Aaron's been freelance for a while, though, because he was doing Scalped and other kinds of books, too. But
has he done mainstream DC?
No, but he has been doing... He did really well with Wolverine.
Or who's the guy that's on Fantastic Four now? Or
it's Matt Fraction.
Oh, that's Matt Fraction?
He's really good friends
with... You thinking of Jonathan Hickman?
Yeah.
He just quit.
Okay. Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman would be amazing because he eats that shit up.
Matt Fraction is really good friends with Jeff Johns. That'd be interesting to see if like Jeff Johns says, I'm going to step away from comics, you know, just kind of do my co-writing thing so I can still do
manage.
My job. Yeah, so I can manage my job. Like, so he can do this entertainment thing, because clearly, yeah. we'll get into this a little bit, like, clearly shows are losing left and right now.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, it says, hey, I'm going to bring my buddy.
Shows?
We'll get there. Just hang on a second. But, like, Matt, bringing Matt Fraction over would be a pretty bold move for DC to do.
Yeah, it would.
That would be.
I can't believe they haven't done that yet. I mean, considering the 52 and how they've
right
been, let's be honest, they've been struggling.
Yeah,
to keep writers and artists on the books.
Well, and their last bold move of bringing somebody in was JMS, because he had been doing Spider-Man for a long time, and they said, "Come on over here."
You can do that too well.
It did not.
Brave and the Bold was.
Good. You'll believe a man can walk.
A lot.
I love the Brave and the Bold comic.
Yeah, that was really cool. But especially the one with Barbara, and that was a really sad issue.
The other stuff I didn't care for.
He's directing a movie now. He's pretty much done with comics.
We're losing track of stuff, but that's our big news so far right now. We've lost
track. Is this how Justin feels? Did you just get to the Justin feeling? I had steam.
Anyways. So, the point is, that was pretty big news, I thought. I'm like, that's ending a long run.
Do you think he's stepping back for? What's the reason?
I think it's because he wants to do more with this creative thing. I mean, his
you keep saying creative thing.
What his film stuff. Like, he does the TV shows and everything like that.
Really? Well, that's a huge success then, I guess.
No, I think that's why. I think he's been stretching himself so thin with everything else. What?
I don't believe you can take a successful comic book guy and make them a successful TV guy. They're different mediums.
He started off in the Hollywood media.
Yeah.
Didn't he start out as a personal assistant?
Richard Donner. And then he did move. He like helped him out with Lethal Weapon 4, I think, or something.
He was pretty involved in the Green Lantern movie, and that didn't turn out too well for anybody.
No. What's his name? The guy, Guggenheim. He's the guy who wrote
Mark Guggenheim?
Wait, is that him?
Eli Stone guy?
Yeah, he wrote that script.
Johns was involved.
He came in halfway through the movie.
It was based on his stories, wasn't it?
Supposedly, but it definitely is not anything like that. It's not the Secret Origin story.
I blame him.
That's fine. You can.
Wrongfully so, maybe, but in my mind, he was always the guy to blame.
I think that was about the time he was just taking over, is when that movie was getting ready to come out. Like, that's when I thought. To my knowledge, that's what I thought. But, I mean, you think about it. Cartoon Network is canceling all their DC Nation shows. Like, they canceled Young Justice and Green Lantern, which are both damn good shows. Like,
they are replacing them with other DC properties.
Correct. To a degree. But you get Batman, which is a hot commodity now.
And there will always be a Batman cartoon.
And I get that.
Why not a Superman cartoon?
I bet by fall we'll have it.
I think Superman's unrelatable. You can't put yourself in Superman's shoes.
Speaking of which, I just watched Superman versus the Elite.
Wasn't bad, was it?
No. I think that actually kind of justifies a little bit of Superman's...
it does.
And I enjoy it. And I like Joe Kelly. He's a pretty...
Where's he?
I think he's doing independent stuff.
He's still doing Ben 10.
Yeah, just doing Hollywood.
Yeah, Kelly and Casey and...
good for him. Sigal. He's probably getting paid.
Yeah, he's made a lot.
That's good.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look back at the comics he did, I think he's worth throwing some money at.
You said... Could you see him writing Green Lantern?
No.
No? Okay. That's what
I've never seen him do anything cosmic like that before.
Okay. You wouldn't consider Superman cosmic?
No.
Or did he try to ground Superman more?
Superman is cool when he's on Earth. Whenever Superman flies to other planets, you lose that mystique. He's no longer the alien on a strange world. He's an alien on an alien world.
Fair enough.
Woohoo! Hey, everybody, the Martian Manhunter goes to Uranus!
You just did it on purpose, didn't you?
It's selling like hotcakes.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, and we'll report back with this, because I want to know what he's going to be doing, and I want to know who's going to be taking over my Green Lantern property right now.
How many Green Lantern books are there currently?
Nine.
Four. There is Green Lantern. Green Lantern.
I'm the bad guy for thinking he was allergic to wood. There's nine. There's easily nine books.
Green Lantern Corps. Green Lantern, New Guardians, and then the Red Lanterns.
Greener Lanterns.
The greenest of lanterns.
Lime green.
Darkest day and cherry soda.
But we'll go ahead and take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about probably, it relates in some ways to some of this. Yeah, so.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten.
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who will be at the Gem City Comic Con with many more great guests on March 23rd and 24th, now at the Nutter Center.
It's no joke. The Gem City Comic Con is the best show in the Midwest, yo. GemCityComicCon.com.
Okay, guys, we're back and not talking about Green Lantern now. We're gonna, we're gonna wanna ask you guys a couple questions. And these are random thoughts that I had posted to you, questions of, like, topics that we were gonna try to discuss on the podcast coming up and everything. And it's just thoughts that have run across me as I, you know, would flip back through comic news and everything like that. What are some of your thoughts about the variety of what they make marketable for comics to, like, kids as opposed to just adults? Like, because, you know, we try to say that, you know, you need to be able to, if you want to get your reader in, you got to get them in young, right? Isn't that what you want to do?
That's what they say.
What do you think, though? Like, do you think, like, if you have comics that all say teen rated and they have, like, a plus 14 rating on there, I mean, you're basically saying these are all PG-13 movies. How many parents are going to be like, oh, Wolverine just sliced this guy's head off?
I don't remember my parents ever checking my comics before we bought them, because you could buy them at gas stations and grocery stores and drug stores.
However, this was during the comics code.
Right.
And it was. True.
Yeah.
True.
So it wasn't nearly as bad, or, like, there was...
And they couldn't show X amount of stuff. So it led the artists or writers to think around that and then still show it, but not show it.
Right. Yeah. They implied.
I still think one of the best comic... one of the best comic code things I've ever seen was... who was the guy who did Nick Fury for a long time? Right?
Stranko?
Yeah. But from, like, the 70s, right?
Stranko.
He did... Yeah, Stranko. Yeah. He was doing... He did that pop art style, right? You know, and there was a part where they wanted to show Nick Fury kissing somebody or whatever. And they said... And, like, he's, like, tightly embracing her or whatever. And they said, this is too much, the comic code. So what they did is they instead enhanced a picture of the gun that was on the side of his belt, and this gun barely fits into it. So it's like this super bulgy gun trying to fit into this little tiny thought. He was like, this worked out even better than I thought. He's like, instead of just making a subtle reference with kissing and then going to a nightshade and then, you know, to the next morning where they're getting out of bed, he's like, you have now made all the sexual references in the world by having this in there. I remember reading this interview with him, and I thought, that's really funny. This is just the comic
story that I thought. Tight holster.
Right.
Baby.
But most comics are geared towards probably mid-teen to your us. You know what I mean?
I always go back to this because I think it's very true. They're geared to towards those people because those are the people that can drive to a comic shop and pick them up.
Because you can't pick them up at the store.
Those are the people with the disposable income.
Okay.
That DC has tried making comics for kids. Kids don't go to comic shops.
They have no right to be in a comic shop, truthfully. It's hold on. Let me. When you're a kid, don't you think a comic shop would be a little creepy?
It's creepy now.
This is why you get your mail order comics.
Yeah, exactly. Selling kids comics in comic shops nowadays is the equivalent of selling candy at a diabetes clinic.
Are you saying that because I'm diabetic?
No, I'm just... Okay.
I get
Nazi propaganda at the Jewish Retirement Center. Kids aren't going there. That's why they don't sell. And DC's like, we keep trying. No one's buying. It's because you're selling them in homemade porn shops.
To some degree, that's about accurate.
Yeah.
Get the Magic the Gathering cards where there's girls with, like, busty...
You got the statues. The $500 statue of a girl getting raped by a tentacle up in the corner. And then you got a 50-year-old picture of that's not
Betty Page.
No, the black baseball player,
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson. I'm thinking specific the comic shop we've all gone to before. You've got that picture of Jackie Robinson where he used to be black. The poster's hung up there so long he's green now. He has been almost bleached by the sun to where he's a Hulk character. Comic shops are horrible, horrible places.
But, okay, so with this, with things becoming, with a lot of these digital first things, do you think that can, and as especially with kids, where most of the stuff that they're going to read is probably going to be on a handheld
device? Maybe 10, 15 years from now. That'll be great.
10 to 15, you think?
Yes.
So? You think it's going to take 10 to 15 years?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I think it'll take 10 to 15 years for tablets to become readily available to everyone, no matter what their income is like, no matter what their socioeconomical stance is. I think it'll take 10 to 15 years for everyone to be comfortable with purchasing things digital, for kids to go there before they go anywhere else. I think we're still at the very early point in this. I think everyone's like, oh, nope, got a tablet. Everyone's doing it now. They're not.
Okay.
We're just not there, in my opinion, Justin. I mean, you've got
about tablets, or is my
well, about just tablets? about digital sales of comics. I mean, you've got girls general, that are
I don't like the comics being produced. That's a question that you
asked. No, goddammit. We're talking about are children going to be more comfortable buying digital comics in the future? Is that going to be a way to keep them out of the comic shops, but still let them read and purchase comics?
It's possible.
Now, me and Mike, we have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old.
I don't think it'd be possible. I think I would also look at the TV as a way to kind of scroll through and, you know, read books as well.
I feel like we've talked about that before, too. Arrow's doing well. People are watching it. Mention the comic.
No, at the end.
Give 30 seconds to what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the digital comic doesn't have to be on the tablet. It could also be, you know, you can set it over with your tablet onto the TV or your computer.
You think like what Marvel's doing with those
adaptive reality?
Well, the night series.
A digital comic and you see it on your big screen TV.
You're talking about just moving it from your tablet to the television screen.
Yeah, and I think my kids would rather see it that way than having like.
Yeah. So if you could purchase comics through the PlayStation or the Wii
or whatever,
which I think you can purchase them
or Netflix
through the PlayStation on Netflix for comics.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That'd be interesting.
Marvel would never let that happen.
Why was that?
They don't let it happen. They have their own Netflix. They've got that Marvel U or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. You have to pay for their...
You pay a monthly subscription, and even then, day to day, they can restrict what comics you read.
I don't like that.
Yeah, because you don't own anything. I mean, they pull it down, they put it back up, they don't pay anyone rights for anything. I
mean, can you still buy comics off of that, or is that... That's like their old database, right?
You buy the rights to view the files.
What about like their stuff through Comixology, though, or whatever? You still buy those, though, right? They're digital comics?
Yeah.
Okay. That's weird. But
even then, I think with Comixology, you're not downloading the files. You're buying the rights to view the files.
But it's on a digital locker service, though. Like you have access to it at any time.
Remember when the 52 first came out, DC was kind of stuff out. Things would come out, people would remark on it, and then all of a sudden your digital files change.
Interesting.
They fix their typos. They recolor people's hair.
I didn't know that.
Because those files are still out there. Your system's still pulling from them.
I did not know that.
That's the scary thing about anything being stored digitally. It can be modified.
Right.
It's not locked down. It's not permanent. I will never buy a digital comic.
Interesting. What?
Buy a digital comic.
Purchase through other means.
It's very true. You do not. You will not. That's very true, sir. True statement.
But like,
move on, buddy. Keep us going.
I know. Justin, with kids, like the kids demographic for comics, you think like that needs to exist, or do you think it's really tough right now?
Both.
Yes. You think it needs to exist, but
it's very tough right now.
Because they're not available.
And because the comics that they're producing for kids are that great.
Right.
I mean,
they win awards.
Tiny Titans won several awards.
Yeah, and then Art and Franco came out with that new series. Superman Family. It won awards and it was canceled.
That's fantastic. Well, why not do comics? I think I said this before on here. Comics for everyone.
All ages.
Doesn't look like Scooby-Doo. But it also doesn't have, you know, Scroomy Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Like the comics.
Scroomy Harley Quinn, yeah.
I would like to think back to the comics we read growing up. Now, Justin, you're significantly older than us.
Yeah, obviously. Know that, 70 years older than
us. No, but seriously, the comics we read growing up, like you said, with the comics code, they couldn't do certain things. But at no point did I feel like they talked down to me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel that way now, when I purchase some comics. I feel like things are over-explained.
Mm-hmm. No, I just, yeah, I mean, I become like, we talked about this on a previous podcast, I become dissatisfied with the current comic books.
Right.
So
because they're just geared towards...
I mean, I just...
It's a lot of sex and violence, yeah. too. I mean, that's just plain and simple.
That's what sells in video games.
It does.
That's what sells in movies.
So
Star Trek's going to be...
Sex and violence.
In the darkness.
Into the... We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there. We're not going any further with this comment. I know where this is going. We're going to stop. I don't want this to go anywhere.
Thighs.
Anyways. So, another thought I've had recently, too, is I've been a fan of Japanese culture a lot, okay?
Haircut.
Yeah, right? You know? J-pop style, buddy. anyways.
You're the only one that has hair, and I'm making fun of his hair.
All their books are published like that, like I brought here with me.
Mm-hmm.
As all of you can see clearly,
I'll hold it up to the mic.
Hey, tap it on the mic a little bit, Bruce, so they can hear it. Yeah, you hear that? That's their collected format. We call it like a digest format. You know what I mean? But at the same point in time, this book is published regularly in an anthology book where it's where you purchase it with seven other titles for like around $8 a pop or something like that. And you had mentioned it, and this is the reason I thought about this as I've been listening to our older podcast. You mentioned that you said you think that the death of the monthly comic, or like the individual comic, is coming up, and that you see the anthology being more of the trend. Is there...
Everywhere but America, this sells. And this sells at bus stations, at drug stores.
Right.
To everyone. All
newsstands.
And they have different demographics. Like the Shonen Jump, that's like the young, that's like the teen male kind of thing. There's a Shona, which is like girls, and then there's like one for adult women, there's one for adult men. There's all different types of demographics, and then they have like all age things.
Don't just think that this is Asia.
No, I don't
either. I've been looking at a lot of French comics lately. They do the same thing. They call them graphic albums.
Yeah. And do they publish monthly and anthologies too and stuff?
No.
No, they just do straight.
Do straight graphic novels.
Okay,
and they're beautiful because you can put a year or two into it, and people are satisfied with it,
right?
Because you're getting, you know, a 200-page story,
right?
Check out Black Sad.
Black Sad.
Black Sad. One word.
But it, I guess my other thing is too, and when we go down this road where we go to the anthology base, or we go to you know, the graphic album, however you want to call it, or just a graphic novel format.
Yeah.
When do these characters that are owned by companies cease to exist, and when does creator market just kind of take over? Because in Japan, the creator market is huge. Like, all these characters are, like, you know, when you look at this character is called Toriko, mm-hmm. and it's written and drawn by a guy every month. It's just him. He's the only one who works on it. There's a guy who does his gray tones for him. That's it. And it's a wild concept of a book. I won't even go into it. But the fact is like you look at the guy, like Dragon Ball Z is a famous one. Bleach, Naruto, all these books. These are all done by one guy or one girl. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part. And they're all creative owned. And like Shonen Jump Shonen the magazine publishes for it. When do you think it's good? And that's what comics were at one point in time in this country. You know, when you had like guys like Stan Lee and Jack Kirby that were creating comics, they owned those, and they put time and effort.
I think overseas, they still respect the creator.
Right.
Their name still ends up on the cover pretty good size, you know? Yeah. And you follow a creator. And a lot of times, the same guy who does the comic, he'll go on to direct the cartoon made about it as well. They have an entirely different culture than we do. Here, conglomerates rule. Companies have the final say. People are irrelevant.
Right.
And that's a big change that just happened maybe the last 30 years.
Are you saying we need to go to an anti-capitalist movement?
I don't want to say anti-capitalist so much as...
Less corporate greed?
Yes. We need more... I don't know what you call it. I don't know the technical term for it. We need to bust up... Like, Marvel and DC, they're monopolies.
Yes.
They just sued another company for using the word superhero.
They can do that?
Yeah. They own the rights to it.
Both of them do?
Shared copyright?
How does that work?
It doesn't. Legally, it makes no sense.
Like, I understand where... I saw something on Bleeding Cool, this is about a month or two ago, where I saw DC was suing a couple haircut places that would use the S brand for Superman on their... Like, it had the... Yeah. Which is ironic, because it's not theirs. It's definitely Siegel & Schuster's, though they've been paid very well for that logo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same point in time...
Like, even though the logo they came up with doesn't look like it.
Right.
It doesn't, I mean...
Right, yeah, it's different, yeah.
Whatever.
But the point I'm trying to make is like, that's one thing, because that's a brand, you know what I mean? But the word superhero? Yeah. Like, they have that... One, those companies don't even like to coexist together, so like... But yet they can find a reason to co-sue somebody or something? Because it's money.
Yes.
Wow.
It's not even a threat to their product. Because this was it was an independent guy.
Right.
And he had more money than us.
This is why Alan Moore came up with the sci-fi hero or something? What's his term?
Science
heroes, yeah.
But that's an old term.
Right. But he took something and tried to make it relevant that Tom Strong did really well.
But I mean, like, Buck Rogers and them.
Right.
And even the precursors, like, trying to think, like, who were the 1930s? Like, the cliffhanger superheroes with jetpacks and stuff. Those were science.
Buck, right? Flash Gordon.
Well, Flash Gordon, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Buck Rogers.
Those were science heroes.
Right.
Because
It was outer space.
A Star Trek, Captain Proton. Captain Proton was a science hero. There's your Star Trek reference.
But, like, at what point in time do people get... there's still profit in individual comics right now, clearly, but not nearly as much anymore.
No.
When is somebody going to say? You think DC's been slowly testing the waters, doing this Earth One and Earth Two, or Earth One book that they've been doing with Superman and Batman, and Marvel's been doing with the Hulk season one and
test the different versions.
Yeah, like trying the straight graphic novel thing. Like I understand it's been done for a long time, but. They seem to be making more of a push at it.
Everything I said about digital comics, I think, applies to this to a degree. The whole 10 to 15 years. People like me and you are dying. When it comes to purchasing the comics, we're purchasing less and less. We're being pickier about what we purchase. They need to move on to the next generation of people with disposable income.
Yes.
Now, the next generation has grown up differently. They look at things different. Their Superman doesn't have to be our Superman. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can go about this differently. They will accept multiple versions of somebody because they've grown up with multiple versions of somebody. Just think about a 10-year-old boy. Let's say this random 10-year-old boy exists. His name's Newton. Okay? Now, he's seen the Tobey Maguire.
Does an apple fall on him?
Yeah. Okay. He's seen the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. He's seen the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. He's watched, three Spider-Man cartoons come and go in his 10 years?
Probably.
He's got toys from 1,000 different toy lines. Uh-huh. Of Spider-Man. How many people has he seen write and draw the Spider-Man comic, if he even gives a damn about it?
Right.
And he's grown up with an ultimate version of Spider-Man, who's now a young black kid.
Yes.
He doesn't care if it's the Spider-Man or not.
Right.
Because he's already...
He's used to that changeover.
Yeah, he's already lived through 100 different Spider-Men.
Okay.
Where me, you, Justin, people of our time period, we're like, no, it's Peter Parker.
Peter Parker has always been.
He lives with Aunt May.
Right.
He loves Mary Jane. Those kids are going to work it out one day. You know?
Is that a pot reference? He loves Mary Jane?
He does love Mary Jane. Yeah. The Mary Jane.
The Mary Jane.
But no, you see what I'm saying? Newton doesn't see this the same way we do. So in 10, 15 years, when Newton has disposable income, he'll go out and buy these graphic albums or whatever they're called.
Because he's already used to that change.
He's a fan of Spider-Man. Doesn't matter who's in the book. It's my son yelling down at me. What do you think of that, Justin? Am I crazy?
This book doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're reading it
backwards.
Is it like a memento or something?
No.
You're reading it backwards.
Oh.
You have to read it still like they would in Japan. Except not up and down. It's still left to right, but you read panels
right
to left.
You're not going to comment on anything I said. Oh, yeah. I think it was pretty intelligent.
I agree.
I created a boy.
Newton.
Yeah, no, Newton. Newton sees all the Spideys.
Yeah.
And in 10 to 15 years, he'll be ready for, like, these guys.
Yeah. Do you think that's what we're going to have to go to at some point in time? Or do you think, like...
Well, my old friend Steve used to talk about comics more as magazines with a collection of different books. He was talking about that back in the 90s as well. Mm-hmm. So he thought it should have been happening already.
Doesn't DC still do something like that? I see it up in my grocery store every now and then.
It's DC like three and Marvel or
four,
do.
It's like three or four issues of Green Lantern together.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. There's the, what did they call it? The Green Lantern Spectacular, and then there's a Young Justice one or something. Or not a Young Justice, but there's a couple different things. There's like, yeah.
I have an Italian Ultimates, and it's one and two together.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I like this. I like the idea of bigger books.
What about black, like keeping it black and white to keep the price down and everything? Are you cool with that too?
I mean, we have to
black and white for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you kind of have to be.
What we should do is we should go back and listen to the podcast, this episode in particular, when we're done with it, because I think we should be preaching to ourselves,
because we are giving advice to the future that we should take today so that we are ready for the future.
We should be setting the tone for the future, is what you're saying.
Whichever, or at least learning from our own hyperbole.
Right.
I do believe in black and white because it is cheaper. I don't think it hinders the storytelling. No, you don't get all the special effects of color, but at the end of the day, who runs out and buys a comic book because of how it's colored?
In the 90s.
Call that to Dave Stewart, by the way.
Yeah,
that 90s. Guy makes a lot of money right
oh,
now.
Oh, it's impressive. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. When it changed over, I thought it was very, you know, but now I feel like it's used
to hide mistakes.
Like, yeah, I don't really care for the color.
We have a visitor. We will take a break and be right back.
All right.
Who can turn a heart with a smile? Who can take a blank page and make it all seem worthwhile? Simmons can. Scott D. and Simmons can. So that you'll always know it, give his website a little click, and his smile will show it. NotSimmons.com. ScottDMSimmons.com. ScottDMSimmons.com.
All right, yeah. We're back.
I'd like to apologize for the abrupt end of that last segment. My son came downstairs.
Bruce had his soapbox out, and he was like, I ain't coming off this bitch.
I know. I had such vigor and gusto. I'm going to go back and listen to this tonight. Get
piss
myself all prepped up again.
You can always type up your comments in the everyone else should.
Everyone should.
Yeah. I would recommend that.
What's that?
Commenting.
Commenting.
BruceLeeHughes.com. Click on the break-ins.
Right. I know how to do a comment. I did.
I'm telling the people there, Mike.
Which people? Your people or my people, huh?
My wife. At least two guys I work with. My cousin's son? At least one person Justin knows, maybe his mother-in-law?
I don't think she posts on there, but she does post on our Facebook page.
Yes, she does.
We had a funny thing about this, because she sent you a message about, like, us doing a podcast, right?
That was on the, that's on the page.
Oh.
She commented to something I posted.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, it was really funny. She said something. I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if we like did we broke into people's houses right. just to do a podcast?" Like,
break it!
So I posted, yeah.
Here we are, Jeff Schmidt, right now. We got like 6 minutes of the cops show up. Here's what's going on, Jeff Johns. Woo!
Bruce is packing his heat. He's ready to start busting on people if they try to get us out of here. By the way, we're pro-gun. What up?
We're currently in the vault. Name whatever bank.
Yeah.
Fifth Third.
We're in prison. This is being done on a voice recorder that Bruce smuggled in his butt cheeks.
Oh, it's roomy.
So, well, that was a really good episode.
Is that sarcasm? You've been serious.
Why does everyone all think I'm being sarcastic?
Because you read a book for most of it.
I read it backwards, apparently. No, it's just, yeah, I mean, I like I said, I'm like...
I want you to get vocal about stuff like that. I want you to get involved.
It's about everything. We had no, like, just one set.
Were you passionate about the future?
What year? 2015?
So Justin Watson on Facebook, Michael T. Adams,
the second
on Facebook,
and Twitter,
Bruce O. Hughes... .com. Bruce O'Hughes on Facebook.
Also, Bruce O'Hughes murder a bitch.
I hate everyone.org. It's my charitable organization.
Bruce and I are setting the tone this year. We're striving for the future.
Justin Wasson's art.
Justin Wasson's art. Art. A-R-T, yeah. Even like Mike's. I didn't keep. Zardos.
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 Master of Zart.
I'm not even timing this.
All right.
Yeah, we're at 3 minutes.
You had something else to say, didn't you?
We're at 3 minutes. Yeah. Now we're at 3.5 minutes.
Excellent.
The break-ins, Twitter page.
Yeah.
Give us some feedback.
I tweet.
Yeah. Bruce tweetily.
Occasionally.
We'll be back next month. Hopefully a little more focused up and maybe some new Star Trek / Star Wars news. So you never know.
I'm trying to set something else up.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Good night.
Have a good one.